Welcome to the Undefeated Podcast with Sara. Did you know that you don't need to live feeling defeated in any area of your life? I believe a huge part of us learning to live from the place of victory is learning to see from God's perspective and discern what's heaven's agenda in this particular season in your life and in the world around you. In this podcast, we will practice discerning what God is doing, both regarding our individual journeys and corporately, so that we can partner with Him in seeing His kingdom come and will be done right now on earth as it is in heaven, and live our lives undefeated. You know, God is a brilliant author and a storyteller. And when we surrender our lives to Him, it's absolutely amazing to see the stories that He writes. And I think sometimes we judge His story writing abilities in the middle of a chapter that's in the middle of the story, when we are walking through something crazy hard, or we are in a place in life when we just can't make any sense of the season that we are in. And we can feel like that, you know, this is a horrible story. And we're trying to figure out, like, is this just a comedy or a never-ending drama or even like borderline thriller or even a horror story? And we don't realize that it's always been a love story between God and humanity. And I just want to, first of all, clarify that when I talk about God writing our stories, I don't mean that everything is somehow predestined for you. We actually play a crucial part in co-writing with Him, and we make choices and we navigate through different situations with Him. But God's ability to redeem and restore when we allow Him to do that is unbelievable. And when God is writing the story, I heard somebody say that the end is always good. And if it's not good, it's not the end. And I believe that is so true for every single story that God is writing. And I know it can be so easy to get frustrated with life when we just stare at our own little journeys. And you know, don't get me wrong, like, your personal story actually really matters to God, and He has created you for purpose, and He does care about every detail of your life. But I feel like often we lose the view of our purpose when we lose the view of God's bigger story, that it's actually not about you, that your life is not about you. And it's not even about your story, that your life is part of God's incredible, brilliant masterpiece that He is writing. And it's like sometimes we're staring at this little drop of paint in the middle of a huge painting, and we are like, I don't get it. How is this supposed to have any meaning or purpose? Until we take a few steps back and we see the whole huge piece of art and how everything actually works together. Which, you know, reminds me of the verse in Romans 8 that all things together work for the good of those who love Him. Actually, I'm going to read it. NIV puts it slightly differently. So this is from Romans 8, 28. It says that, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified. And I think a lot of people have heard this scripture, but I think we often miss the part that it's actually according to His purpose, that it all works together. But it's always according to His purpose. And that His purpose is to conform us to the image of Jesus, like it says here so beautifully. And I think we also often forget that we are not the hero of the story. He is. And I often hear people say that, you know, you just need to be the hero of your own story. And I know what they mean, but I think it's actually quite backwards because we can't be saved and rescued by God if we try to be our own God, our own savior. And this actually, it takes the pressure off when, you know, he gets to be God and we get to be his people. That he's God, we are not. And your personal story actually only makes sense in the context of his bigger story. And oftentimes we don't see the bigger story and the bigger picture until afterwards. And I was just thinking of the stories of Hannah and Elizabeth in the Old Testament. So Hannah, the mother of Prophet Samuel, and Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist. So they both were barren and they had a dream of having a child. But God's dream was to have a prophet for the nations. And there's something so incredible when our dream actually meets God's much bigger dream. And it's like, you know, the Kairos time of heaven meets the Chronos time where we live. And what we thought was just our own little dream ends up being part of something way bigger than us. And that's why I really love the stories of those two women in the Old Testament. And last Sunday, I posted a video on social media that a friend had taken a while back when I was dancing in worship to this song that says that, "So catch me up in your story, all my life for your glory, my God, my joy, my delight." And so I had just posted it when I walked in our sanctuary for the evening service. And it was quite funny because right when I walked in, the worship team was doing their sound check and they were singing that very same song and that same line of the song when I walked in. And also right at the same time, someone commented on my video and the comment popped up on my phone right at the same time with the same lyrics from the "My God, My Joy, My Delight." And I was thinking, I think God wants to say something. Because it's not necessarily even a song that we have been singing a lot recently in our corporate worship times. And so anyway, I want to read the lyrics of this song for you guys. So it says that there's just one chief end to man's purpose, one main reason for existence. All man's vain and high ambitions will one day be brought low. To treasure you above all others, to love you like we love no other. And your greatness soon will be uncovered, and all the earth will then know. For you alone will be exalted in that day, and worthless goals will be exposed as idols that we've made. For you alone will be exalted in that day, and you'll be seen as rightful king, and from our hearts we'll say that all is for your glory and all is for your name. All is for your glory, that in all things you may have the first place, that in all things you may have preeminence. So put me anywhere, just put your glory in me, and I'll serve anywhere, just let me see your beauty. So catch me up in your story, all my life for your glory. My God, my joy, my delight. Wow, I love the lyrics of this song. And I think oftentimes our stories don't quite make sense until we connect them into God's bigger plan and into his story. And also that when we connect our individual stories to other people's stories and see that it's all interwoven together. And it was actually so powerful that in that same service last Sunday night, We ended up dancing with my team of five dancers who were there for that service. So we danced all together for that song. And it felt like God was highlighting the fact that God's story has always been about family. And I think I've shared this quote before, but I love how Chris Vallotton says that you can't find your destiny until you find your people, or something along those lines. And that none of our callings and destinies work independent of others. That we are actually meant to run this race together, and our stories make sense together. And another aspect of God's story is that it actually requires childlikeness. You know, it requires childlikeness even just to enter the kingdom of heaven. Like Jesus said in Mark 10:15, that truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. So you need to have a childlike heart and childlike faith to be part of God's story. And sometimes when we talk about like purpose and destiny, we can get so very, very serious, and we forget that seriousness is actually not a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Joy is. And even though, of course, you know, there's the reverent heart posture in getting to be part of God's incredible story, but God is full of joy, and in his presence is fullness of joy. And, you know, his kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy. So if joy is lacking from our story, then something is definitely out of alignment. And last Saturday, this topic of childlike joy actually came up again in our healing rooms. So during our circle up time before we started ministering and we're like praying and getting ready, we started playing with this ball. I don't actually know even what kind of a ball it was. It was one of those soft balls that's, you know, sort of smaller than volleyball, but bigger than a tennis ball. And I just found it somewhere in the backstage area, and we joked about that maybe we should play the ball in worship. But it was just a joke at the beginning. But I told the team that I felt like it's going to be a morning of joy and playfulness, and that God is actually wanting to manifest his presence through joy and childlikeness, and that God doesn't need us to be acting all serious in order to move. And that he actually enjoys it when we are having a good time with him. And so in the middle of the worship time, there was this moment that was so filled with joy that I was like, if now is not the time, I don't know when is the time. I ran off the stage and I grabbed the ball. I'm like, there's nothing more appropriate right now than bring the ball on stage with us. So we started playing. It was kind of this mix of like, it started kind of like volleyball, but then it turned into something that looked more like rhythmic gymnastics with ball. And it was quite hilarious. But the thing was like, it wasn't just fun and joyful, but we all actually felt the presence of God. And we felt the anointing as we started partnering with one another in that. And even the encounter room leader, who is like leading that part of the healing rooms, she noticed it. And when she picked the mic after that, I was like praying for the room. So the first thing she says is that, isn't God fun? And if you haven't experienced God as fun, he wants to change that for you. And it literally felt like the childlike joy also brought in this intimacy with God. And all of a sudden it felt like everybody felt connected to God's heart. And also it kind of continued. We started Having children join us, we usually our kids team comes in a little later. So when they came in and we started playing with them, what we called a worship tag, when, you know, part of our dance team freezes and part of them are moving, and then, you know, you can by the ones who are moving can unfreeze the ones who are not by touching them. And we had this couple of very, very young kids who joined in. And it was so beautiful to see how they experienced the joy of God, and that they actually got to have this encounter that it is so fun to connect with God, with one another. And I just love that these little kids are learning that God wants them to have fun in His presence. And also, like, during the same time, there is ministry happening. So we're doing this actually on stage, which can sound a little different from most worship and prayer meetings, but it felt like it was so appropriate to what was going on in the room during that time. And it literally felt like, even when we're playing the freeze tag, it felt like God was actually unfreezing people, and people who were so stuck in their pain and in their, you know, being so very serious, and that God actually, like, kind of burst through with His joy into their lives in that moment. And it was, I don't even know, it was so powerful. And also, I just wanted to say that, of course, like, you know, being part of God's story and living out His purposes in His kingdom, it obviously, it doesn't mean that all of our circumstances are always fun. And I think we often can start feeling like, you know, maybe I've done something wrong when things get difficult. But often it's actually just a sign that, you know, we are running the right direction. I don't remember who said this, but someone said that if you don't run into some demons every once in a while, you're probably going the same direction with them. I mean, obviously, not all difficulties are always caused by the demonic. However, like, there are difficulties that we walk through, not because we are going the wrong way, but because we are going the right way. I love how in 1 Peter 4, verses 12 through 14, it says that, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you." And also, I want to read from 2 Timothy 1, verses 9 through 12. These are both from NIV. It says that He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of His own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. This is why I am suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that He is able to guard what I have entrusted to Him until that day. Wow, that's such a powerful scripture. I love how Paul here is emphasizing, first of all, that we have been saved and called. Again, He is the Savior. We are not. And we are what we are called to. We are called to a holy life. It doesn't say an easy life, but it's a holy life that's our calling. And it's because of His purpose and grace. And actually, you know, His grace is what empowers us to live in holiness, and that the grace is given us through Jesus, and that Jesus has destroyed death and has brought life. But even then, Paul says, that is why I am suffering as I am. And then he goes, yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. So living in the middle of God's purposes and in his story, it doesn't mean that it's going to be a breeze and it's just going to be fun and easy all the time. But we can actually find his joy in the middle of the hardships. And we have a purpose in the middle of that. I love in Philippians 4:4-5, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. And also in 2 Corinthians 12, it says that, that is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Wow. So we are not called to live for our own pleasure, but we are called to live for his glory and for his purposes. And even though it's not always easy, it's actually the most fulfilling way of doing life. And it's the only way to live that actually has eternal value and meaning. I was thinking of another song. I may have quoted this before too, but it says that I know the end of the story. I'll come up from the wilderness, leaning on my beloved. Wow. And this song, actually, it comes from Song of Songs 8:5, where it says that who is this coming up from the wilderness, leaning on her beloved? And I love that, you know, getting to know God and learning to love him and also love others is actually what really matters. That's what this story is about. And that we actually, no matter what kinds of chapters we end up going through in this big story of life, that when our focus is leaning on our beloved, like no matter what kind of wilderness we are journeying through, that we, when we find him in the midst of that, that's what gives us purpose, and that's what gives us hope, and that's what gives life meaning. And I was also thinking, I love what Moses prayed in Exodus 33:13. He says that, if you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. And I love that, you know, that's actually the reason why living holy lives matters and why we are called to live holy lives, is because when we get to know the ways of God, and his ways are holy, it's that his ways lead us to him and his ways lead us to knowing him. And the more we get to know God, the more we actually start hungering after holiness and righteousness, and that it's not our own righteousness, but that Jesus himself is our righteousness and holiness, and that he is the only way to the Father. And that by abiding in him, that we actually get to be part of his story, and that we get to find our purpose in knowing him and loving him. And in that place, we actually lose appetite for anything else, all the other ambitions and things that we thought we needed to have in life in order to feel fulfilled. It all loses its meaning in the most beautiful way. And I feel like this is a season for us where God is just calling us into that place of new intimacy with Him. The Upper Room just released a new album, which I absolutely love. And I know that that's one of the ways how God is calling His global bride into that place of intimacy. And I was just playing a few of their songs in some of the dance classes that we were doing in BSSM with my students. And, you know, there's one song that says that you are the fairest of 10,000. There's no other I could love. And we actually, like, I'm even tearing up now, like, just thinking of that. Like, we can only say that when we actually start to know who Jesus is, that we realize that He is the one and only. Like, He's the only one who can give us purpose and meaning, and everything else fades away in His presence. And actually, the same album has this song that says that, give me Jesus, give me Jesus. You can have all this world, but give me Jesus. And I know that, you know, that kind of hunger, it doesn't come through some striving or trying to make it happen, but our hunger actually grows when we get to draw close to Him, when we start seeing Jesus for who He is, and we realize that the bigger story is actually all about our love story with Him. Wow, and that we find our purpose in Him, in His presence. Yeah, and I just pray right now, I pray for just fresh encounter with Jesus for each one of you who are listening to this episode. Yeah, and even if you're walking through a chapter in your life that feels so hard and so challenging, and you're having a hard time finding any meaning or purpose, that you would actually get to encounter Jesus in the middle of this chapter. Yeah, that His presence would change everything. Yeah. Yeah, Jesus, we want to know You deeper. We want to see You for who You really are. Yeah. Yeah, thank You, God, that it's Your heart's desire that You actually want to reveal Yourself to us, and that You want us to be part of Your story, that You are inviting us to come and co-labor with You. I thank You for the privilege that we have. Yeah, that we get to be in Your story. Yeah, thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus, that You are our life. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.